On today's edition of The Hot Seat, we are welcoming a minister that has not been on before. This is his first time on the Trending 55 Hot Seat, and we are pleased to welcome the Minister of Infrastructure, also the MLA for Calgary Edgemont, Mr. Prasad Panda. Mr. Panda, thank you for taking the time. Great to have you on here.
Yeah, good afternoon to you and all your listeners, and happy to be on The Hot Seat.
Awesome. So I guess the first question we have for you, Minister, is that obviously 14 new schools announced, you and Minister LaGrange side-by-side announcing it this week. Obviously, really big news for LaCrete, or I should say Fort Vermilion and Manning. Obviously, let's start with the school in Fort Vermilion first. Obviously, we know that the flood last year did incredible amounts of damage up there. And just, I guess, in terms of it, how much relief up there do you think it's going to be for the people of Fort Vermilion, knowing that they could eventually go into a school without having to worry about water hopefully seeping in?
Yeah, I'm also excited to share that good news with the folks at Fort Vermilion. It's a K-6 St. Mary's School. It's owned by the Holy Family Catholic Separate School Division, and it will be operated by the Fort Vermilion School Division, which does provide Catholic programming through an education delivery agreement. As you know, our government believe in choice in education, so I do note that the existing St. Mary's School was badly damaged in 2020 flood, and it's slated for demolition. And once the project is complete, so K-6 component in the new Fort Vermilion Public School will continue to offer Catholic programming. And K-6 students from St. Mary's are currently housed in leased space with Fort Vermilion. And I understand that the Education Department is currently discussing revising their project communications to differentiate between the K-6 Catholic programming and the K-12 public programming. It's unique, combining both the Catholic and public programming together, but there won't be any future issues with water in the classrooms.
So this basically, it almost sounds like that technically in one building there's going to be a K-6 and a 7-12, two different schools technically, but in one same building. Is that what the hope is?
Yeah, K-6 and the K-12.
Okay, excellent, great. And also, Minister, a big one for Manning as well, at for the Peace River School Division. I understand that they're getting a new school, and also the design phase is about to start for that. What could you tell us about the school in Manning?
Yeah, so that is to replace the old Paul Rowe Junior Senior High and Manning Elementary School. So this project will see a replacement K-12 school. That's good news for the people of Manning. And also there are two other projects already underway there. If you remember, there is a replacement school for which construction. That's the
École Quatre Vents.
Right. You got that right. I struggle to pronounce it.
I'm originally from Montreal, so I guess as somebody who has lived in Montreal, I guess I almost always say it with the French twang.
So I love to be corrected by a French Canadian all the time. So, So that project will be done by end of December 2022 or early January 23. It will be a K-12 for 220 Francophone students, and as someone moved from Quebec and Montreal, you would appreciate that. And then we have Blue Hills Community School in Mackenzie County. It's a modernization. We are still working on the schedule, but the project right now is in design phase. It's a K-12. For about 200 students. So in that area, in that county, Mackenzie County, and in surrounding areas, these are good investments, because we are planning for the future, Our students, our children are our future, and we are planning for a future of the Alberta indirectly. So I'm glad to be part of that development, infrastructure development in your area.
Yep, no doubt. And I guess also as well, Minister, that obviously one thing that we're seeing, at least in the budget and especially for infrastructure, we've got a few different projects happening up here. But obviously in rural Alberta, how important was it for the government to really focus on the priorities of the rural areas? And not to say that Edmonton and Calgary aren't important, of course they are, but how important was it for the rural areas to be able to get that upgraded infrastructure, the upgraded schools? Because I'm sure, as you know, Minister, some places in Mackenzie County, for example, are some of the fastest growing places in Alberta.
I hear you. I actually, traveled through that area when I was the opposition critic for economic development and trade in the last term during the NDP government, and I stopped over at every place en route high level down to Edmonton. So I saw how that region lacked infrastructure, whether it is learning facilities for students or healthcare for moms who are delivering babies there, and it's neonatal and all those. And also the broadband lack of connectivity in that area. I witnessed that firsthand. So. As a Minister of Infrastructure, it's a priority for us to identify the infrastructure deficiency in rural communities. That's why last year, if you followed me, I spent most of my summer during the pandemic going to rural communities to roll out the cost share projects with federal government, ICIP projects, whether it is water treatment, wastewater, or drinking water projects, and so many other, swimming pools. Because in smaller communities like where you are located, without critical infrastructure, the viability of the communities become questionable, because you can't retain the people living there, or you can't attract new people. So that's why we need and also COVID highlighted that connectivity and self-sufficiency of infrastructure in the local area is more important, so our people in rural communities can, by using reliable, dependable internet services, they can do business from home or from remote communities. So these are very important issues. Myself and my caucus colleagues from rural communities, they strongly advocate on behalf of their communities.
Yeah, we definitely, two of them here, MLAs Williams and MLA Lowe, and we check in with them regularly. Also as well, Minister, I guess, and then before, because on the hot seat, we always like to learn a little bit about the personal side of our guests. But before getting to that, Minister, what are some of the other goals that you're of your ministry this year? What are some of the other big goals that you really are looking forward to accomplishing this year?
So this year we are focusing on the overall capital plan. If you remember last year, we enhanced our capital plan. It was $10 billion last year because during the pandemic we thought it was infrastructure investments that will provide stimulus to the local communities. That's why we accelerated capital maintenance renewal projects in every community, because it was easy to fix the leaking roofs or pipes or windows in schools when students are not in the classes, or it's easy to fill the potholes on the highways. So that's why we accelerated funding for CMRs. On the top of $10 billion last year, this year's capital plan for the next 3 years is $20.7 billion.
Wow.
So it's unprecedented in the history of Alberta. We are investing a lot on infrastructure, which will help us to recover the economy and then to grow the economy. And also, we need to diversify the economy, for which we require modern infrastructure. So that's why our focus this year will be to get these projects kick-started and create local jobs, because these projects, particularly this capital plan I talked about, will create 90,000 jobs, 50,000 direct jobs, and 40,000 indirect jobs when Albertans needed them most. It matters a lot in smaller communities like yours. So that's my priority, to make sure those projects are done on time, on budget, and try also to get some funding from federal government, because we send a lot of money to Ottawa. In return, we're trying to get at least a fair share from them to fund some of our critical infrastructure. So we are using, but at the same time, I want you and your listeners not to forget about the debt and deficit we are in.
Of course.
We ran last year $20 billion debt, but that last year it was unique because our priority was to protect public health. At the same time, we also focused on protecting livelihoods. That's why in Alberta, we never stopped construction. So we kept going thanks to the hardworking tradespeople. Yeah, they worked safely to keep the construction going on last 1 year. So we made a lot of progress, and also we heard from our municipal partners. It was cheaper to build these days. They're getting, also productivity was not bad, but the bids they are getting in from contractors, the rates they are getting for building or doing any infrastructure work, it was very competitive. So we are getting better value for the money we are spending on infrastructure. So we are trying to create local jobs, provide stimulus. So that's what we are focusing to build critical infrastructure required for now, and also to grow our economy in the future.
All right. Well, I know a lot of people here are excited to get back to work, that's for sure. So, ministers, we have you on the hot seat, and I guess I ask you this as Prasad. So one of the things when we had your colleague, Minister Madhu, on, and Casey talked about his beginnings from Nigeria, and always interesting to hear some of the stories there. And I understand you were originally born in India. So what are some things you could tell us about that you remember about growing up in India?
Absolutely. So that's a very good question. I feel very passionate. I called Canada home, Alberta home. I chose Alberta for a better future for my son and the future grandchildren. And I'm so thankful when Albertans welcomed my small family and accepted us as provided Alberta gave me opportunities to work in oil and gas industry here, but that's where I worked 28 years. But
wow.
coming from rural India, so my father was a farmer and a small businessman, so I grew up on working on my dad's farm and all, and then I graduated as an engineer. Then I moved out of southern India to Mumbai, the commercial capital of India, to work for India's largest private sector company, Reliance Industries. They are the world's largest petrochemical and refining company. So growing up there, you know, I experienced energy poverty. These people there in rural communities still don't have access to clean cooking fuel or, you know, modern infrastructure, what we have here. So that's why when I moved here, it was a honor for me to represent people of Calgary Foothills and now Calgary Edgemont, and also work as Minister of Infrastructure. I could see day and night the infrastructure we're creating here is fantastic, and Alberta gave me opportunity to continue to strengthen the relations between my native home country and my home now, I call home Alberta. So I tried to develop and strengthen economic and cultural relations with India, because they are very strong in certain sectors like the information technology and new tech, and also the pharmaceuticals and vaccines. They are very strong.
Yep.
So those are the sectors we are trying to diversify, and if we can bring in some foreign investments, and also a lot of students, they look at someone like me settled in Alberta and they say, okay, so Alberta provides lots of opportunities. So many of these foreign students look at post-secondary education institutions here. For my family, it's a great opportunity. Alberta provided us economic opportunity for economic immigrants like us. We had to come here, integrate ourselves into our Alberta and Canadian system, and embrace the values, the Canadian values, and make this better than what we found. So I encourage all new Canadians to do the same thing. Alberta is a great place to live and work and raise family. I'm so thankful for the opportunities my family got, and we have a lot of potential. My only frustration is if a federal government can partner with us in developing our natural resources for the benefit of all Canadians, and for that matter, countries like India and China. As I said, I grew up in energy poverty. I had lived experience. So, I mean, if federal government is serious about addressing global emissions, which is a global problem, Alberta and Canada can, you know, develop our natural resources, particularly the natural gas, and ship it to countries like China and India, where majority of the population live. And that's where the problem is. We had to tackle that problem there by enabling them with our clean fuels. And also, they need a lot of they need a lot of our agricultural products, particularly in India. They require,
yep.
Most of them are vegetarians. We can ship our lentils and pulses to them, and so we can fuel and feed them. So that's where we had to, our federal government need to focus in developing good relations with countries like India, since you mentioned that's where I came from. So.
All right. Well, great. That's a great explanation. I almost at some points felt like I could see out there. And now here's one that I heard, and I was suggested to ask you about this. What can you tell me about your mango farm?
Yeah. So unlike in Canada, you know, here we can have large holdings like quarter section to 4,000, 10,000 acres. In India, we have a land ceiling. A family of wife and husband can only have 40 acres. So I have my family land still there. So we grow mangoes, we grow lemon. I have a lemon orchard, mangoes.
Ooh.
And we do paddy rice, and we don't grow wheat there, but paddy rice and In my farmland, I don't have chilies or tobacco or cotton or turmeric, but those are, or sugarcane, those are the other crops they grow. Yeah, those mangoes are the most delicious and very tasty, and I hope in the future years I can bring them here and distribute them to my friends like you.
I was going to just say that if you would have had to come back with some mangoes on your next visit, I may have to reserve a few of them.
I will try to remember. I'm going to ask Hayden to remind me to send some to you. In fact, I joked with my federal counterpart, Catherine McKenna. So when we were doing irrigation projects, so because Alberta has a lot of fertile land, all they need is a little bit of irrigation so we can grow more crops, and we can diversify crops, and we can look at the world need and ship them our agri food from here. So I was telling her, if she helps us in developing the required infrastructure in Alberta, so I promised her I'll ship her mangoes grown on my trees in India, and she loved the idea. She said she'll work with me. I hope I'll try to sweeten her enough to get some money from Ottawa for the benefit of all Albertans.
Well, I like that idea. So really, a good future for an economic future for Albertan could rest on the mangoes of the infrastructure minister of Alberta. I love that. That's right. Minister, thank you so much for taking the time today. Great to have you on, and we hope to have you on again in the future.
Thank you. Look forward to come back to your area in the future and do a live show with you. And I appreciate you taking time and give me an opportunity to update the good people of rural northern communities. Really appreciate, and I wish them very best, and I hope they all continue to stay safe and healthy.
This is Infrastructure Minister Prasad Panda on his Hot Seat debut, and this is another edition of The Hot Seat.